Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Chof Vov. In our previous shiur, we were discussing the issue of Oisek b'mitzvah potur min ha-mitzvah. In this Tanaic source with which we open up today's shiur, we will see again a reference to that, but in addition, there is another type of preoccupation, other than mitzvah preoccupation, that can also be the grounds for sukkah exemption. On the side of our Gemara, under our topic heading, that we call the Nosei, we have written Chiyuv Sukkah, the sukkah obligation, L'Holchei Drachim, Shomrei Ho'ir, Shomrei Peros. Sukkah obligation for people that are travelers, people that are guards of the city, municipal guards, and people that are hired to watch vegetation or fruits growing in fields. So we open up our Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Holchei Drachim Bayoim Paturim Minasuka Bayoim. The Chayovin Balaylo, people who are daytime travelers, they are exempt from the Sukkah while they are traveling by day. In other words, if their person is on a trip and it happens to be during the holiday of Sukkot, he wants to eat something, he doesn't have to go off his path, veer off his path in order to find the sukkah, but rather eats wherever he is on his trip and is exempt from sukkah. However, at night when he is not traveling, so he has to be in a sukkah. Holchei drachim b'laylo, people who are traveling at night, p'turin min ha-sukkah b'laylo v'chayavim b'yom. So they are exempt during the hours of traveling, during the nighttime, and are obligated during the day. Holchei drachim b'yom uv'laylo, if someone is traveling by day and by night, p'turin min ha-sukkah b'ein b'yom u'b'ein b'laylo. So they are exempt both day and night. Holchein l'dvar mitzvah, person who is on the way to perform a mitzvah, p'turin bein bayom uvein balaylo. So they are exempt by day and by night. Now here, the difference between the holchein dvar mitzvah and the previous examples, Rashi points out on the upper part of the narrow lines, holchein dvar mitzvah, p'turin bayom uvalaylo, afal pi she'ein holchein ela bayom. Even though their actual journey time is by daylight, by daytime hours. However, it might be, let us say, a journey lasting a couple of days in order to get to their mitzvah destination. So, even though their actual travel time is by day, but since their mind is preoccupied on the fulfillment of the mitzvah, and this is reminiscent of the Ptur, the exemption we saw in our previous shiur concerning the chosan, who is kineses apsula, even though he's not actually involved in a mitzvah performance, but nevertheless his mind is focused on the mitzvah performance, pturin mina mitzvah. So that exempts them from the other mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara continues with an incident, kihod rav chistov rabo baravuna, as was in the case of Rav Chiston Rabo, ki havu aili b'shabata derigla lebei reish galusa, when they traveled on the Shabbos of the Rigla, of the holiday, the Shabbos of Sukkot, to visit the reish galusa. The reish galusa was called in English the exilarch, and Rashi points out that he also held forth in a Torah lecture, a drusha. So when they were when they visited him, havu gonu araksa desura They slept on the banks of the Sura River, but not in a sukkah. Amri, they said, Anan shluchei mitzvah anan. We are on a mitzvah mission, and as Rashi pointed out, the mitzvah is to hear the drasha and to show honor to the Reish Galusa, Ufturin, and therefore we are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Tonu Rabbanan. We continue with another source featuring different types of shomrim, guards. Shomrei ho'ir bayom pturin min hasukkah bayom uvachayovin balayla. Guards that are hired to work during the daytime, municipal guards, they, if they're hired for daytime hours, so they're exempt from sukkah, from seeking out a sukkah, that interferes with their guard duties. But they're not guarding at night, so they're obligated at night to be in the sukkah, and the other way around is true as well. Shomrei ha'ir balayla, people who are guarding the city at night, turn min hasukkah balayla v'chayavim bayom, are exempt from sukkah by night and are obligated by day. Shomrei ha'ir bein bayom uvein balayla, those types of guards that are on 24-hour call, so turn min hasukkah bein bayom uvein balayla, they are exempt from sukkah both by day and by night. Shomrei ginos upardesim, guards that are hired to watch. Ginos are fields where vegetables are grown. Pardesim, orchards. Pturin bein bayom uvein balayla. So they are exempt by day and by night. The Gemara asks, v'levdu sukkah hosim v'lesvu. These guards of fields, of orchards, why don't they set up, build a sukkah over there where they are guarding? So there are two responses to this question. Abaye Omar Teshvu Ke'en Toduru. The mitzvah of sukkah is Teshvu. The pasuk says, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim. Teshvu means dwelling in your in the sukkah as you dwell in your house. And Rashi explains, he goes beyond the translation of those words. Rashi says, Ke'en Toduru, you'll see the Rashi in the upper quarter or third of the page. He says, Kederech Shudor Kol Hashon Beveso, as a person dwells year-round in his house, his Kikoso Torah, the Torah requires of him, L'Haniach Diroso, to leave his year-round domicile, the Lodur Kanda Sukkah, and to dwell in the Sukkah, Im mitoisav, with his bed, uklei tashmisho, and his vessels, umatzosav, and his bedware. In other words, his living conditions are basically transferred from his home to the sukkah. Vizeh, the shomer, this guard, this field guard, eino yochol lahavion sham mipnei haTorah. He can't, as they say, schlep. He can't bring all of his wares from his house all the way out to the fields. That is an overly excessive burden, and hence he is exempt based on the grounds of Teshu. Because of the Torah involved, so that exempts him from Sukkah. And what you see from here, according to Abaye, is that if you're not going to be dwelling in the Sukkah as you would be in your home, and if the reason for not being able to do so is because of Torah, so that creates exemption. A very interesting Rashi and opinion that requires quite a bit of analysis to fully understand that particular exemption. But because once again, just to repeat, the sukkah expectation is to dwell in your sukkah under the same circumstances as you would in your home, and because of the tircha involved in accomplishing that, that creates exemption. Rava Omar, Pirtza Kuro Laganov. Rava says that if a guard who is supposed to have visual contact with the whole area that he is guarding is going to be in a sukkah where the sukkah is basically closed on three sides, so it's as if there's a breach calling out to the thief to come and steal. That's a the word pirtza is a breach in a fence, and as is the case with a fence that has a breach in it, so thieves are enticed to enter. So too, a guard that's sitting in a sukkah surrounding him on three sides is enticed to come and steal from the field. From the, we'll say, the other side, from the back of the sukkah, he enters the field. The guard won't see him, and of what value will all of his guard duty be? So, because he can't fulfill his guard duty in an appropriate fashion, so this exempts him from the need to make a sukkah over there. My Binai, what is the difference between Abaye's point and Rava's point? Iko Binayu, the point of difference would be to komintar karya de piri, where a person is hired to watch a pile of fruits. Now, a pile of fruits are concentrated in one spot. Since they're concentrated in one spot, and that's what you're supposed to be watching, you can be in the sukkah and watch a singular spot. As we said, the sukkah can be open on the fourth side. So opposite the entrance of the sukkah would be the pile of fruits, and he can accomplish his mission of guarding with a regular sukkah. However, according to Abaye, there still remains the exemption of the pirts of Teshu Kentoduru of the Tircha. Cholin u'misham shehen. The Mishnah pointed out that people who are ill and those that are serving them are exempt from the sukkah. And that's the title that we assign to this section of the Gemara under the Noseh heading, Cholim u'misham shehen b'sukkah, what is the din? Tanu Rabbanan, Chol she'omru, the chole that we have spoken about, lo chole she'esh bo sakona. We're not talking about a person who's deathly ill, and that's why he's exempt from the sukkah, because it would endanger his life. Ela afilu chelu she'ein bo sakana, even a person who is not in life's danger, afilu chosh be'enov, even if he has an eye discomfort, afilu chosh beroshu, as we call a headache, he will be exempt from the sukkah. Omer Shimon Gamliel, pa'am achas chashti be'enai. Or Beini. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I once had a pain in my eye, Bekesari, in the town of Kesaria, the Hitir Rabbi Yossi Beribi Lishon, Ani Umisham Shai Chutz L'Sukkah. And Rabbi Yossi Beribi is a title of distinction. Rabbi Yossi, the Godol Hador, the great man of his generation, allowed me and those serving me, those that were waiting on me, to sleep outside the Sukkah. Rav Shora l'Rav Acha Bardala. Rav Acha Bardala l'migna b'kilsa b'sukkah mishum boki. He allowed Rav Acha to sleep, Mignos to sleep, in a kilsa. Now, kilsa is a term that we've seen a long time ago. It has to do with a bed canopy. So he allowed him to sleep in a under a bed canopy. And now Rashi adds something very important. If you recall, in the previous sukkah, we spoke about akila and akilas chasanim. Now Rashi explains here, v'afapi sheyesh lo gag v'gavo asora v'avikiilu chutz l'sukkah. This is a kila as opposed to the kilas chasanim. This is a flat-roofed bed canopy. It's not the type of bed canopy that resembled the pup tent, but rather it's a bed canopy that's supported by four poles on the four corners of the bed. And draped over that is a covering. And the boki are flies. So as to keep the flies away from him, he was allowed to sleep under this. And the chiddush of Rashi is, even though you're in what in effect would be a separate oihel, and when you're contained within another covering or another structure, so then in your mind's eye, you're not really in the sukkah. The Rashi here doesn't elaborate as to what the reason for this is. Rashi's loshen was vavi ki'ilu chutz l'sukkah. It's as if he's outside the sukkah, but if he's troubling himself to do this, so we can use one analysis, a svara that we've seen in the past, is this might have a din of an oyel aroi, and we saw, according to Shitas Rebbe Yehuda in the past, that lo osi oyel aroi, umevatil oyel keva, so that relative to the sukkah, this might be considered an oyel aroi, but that's just a svara that we're saying off the top of our heads. The Tosfos makes a reference to this issue as well, and he also points out that the halacha would not follow that approach of being allowed to sleep in a kila that has a flat roof. We continue in the Gemara. Rava shoro lei l'Rabbi Acha bar Ado l'migna bar mi metalolosa. Rava allowed Rabbi Acha to sleep literally outside the sukkah, mishum sircha de gargishta, because of the foul odor of the ground where the sukkah was built. Rava litame, Rava in allowing for this, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. And that is the Amar Rava mitzayer poter min hasukkah. One who feels extreme discomfort, mitzayer is more tsar, pain or suffering, displeasure. So one who experiences this feeling is exempt from the sukkah. The Gemara asks, how can Rava issue such exemptions? But have we not learned chaylin umishamshehen pturin min hasukkah? The Mishnah legislates who is exempt from the sukkah. It says the infirmed and those that are serving the infirmed. Chaylin in mitzdare lo. Someone who is sick, not someone who is discomfort, experiencing discomfort. So how could they issue such a how can Rava allow dwelling outside the sukkah based on simple tzar? Amri. So Gemara answers, Chayla hu umisham shoptum. When it comes to a chayla, there is something unique. Not only is the sick person exempt, but those that are waiting on him as well. Mitztayer hu poter and misham shov lo. However, when it comes to someone that's experiencing discomfort, so then it's there's an exemption, but for him alone, not those waiting on him. So the Mishnah had a certain agenda, and the emphasis in the Mishnah was on the issue of the Mishamshin. So based on that, the diuk can be made, the inference can be made, as we saw the Gemara attempt to do in the question, but we answer that the inference is based on the Mishamshin and not on the Cholin. Oichlem achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. The Mishnah told us that one can eat a small amount of food, which is called achis aroi. Aroi literally is something that is temporary or fleeting. When learning the Mishnah, we suggested an expression like snacking. So one can do that outside the sukkah. But now, that's very general. We have to get to brass tacks, how much is involved. So as you look on in the Gemara, you see diamonds appearing, and on the side, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading, with a structural note, the diamond introduces Deos Bekamo Hi Achilas Aroi, opinions regarding what constitutes this small eating, this Achilas Aroi, quantity-wise, the amount of food. Other issues that will be discussed in the upcoming section of Gemara is Shinas Aroi Michutz L'Sukkah, sleeping or napping outside the Sukkah. Shina B'Tfilin, the Gemara will make reference to sleeping while one's wearing Tfilin, or sleeping in the context of Tfilin. The triangle that will appear are Deos Loma Osir Lishon Shinas Aroi Michutz L'Sukkah. Why? Opinions explaining why it is forbidden to nap outside of the sukkah. This we'll see later in the Gemara. This is going to be in contrast with a we'll call relative leniency with regard to tefillin wearing. The double underline that you see, we'll try to explain that a bit later. Let's continue now in the Gemara. V'kamo achilas aroi, how much is considered snacking? Omar Rav Yosef tarti otlas be'i. Two or three quantities of food, the equivalent of an egg. And when we speak about food, generally speaking, as we've learned in other Gemaras, we're talking about bread or cakes, something that's of a grain nature, baked grain nature. So it's two or three egg quantities of, we'll say, bread for convenience. Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, you're saying that that amount is considered snacking? For zimnin sagin sagi leili inish behochi. Many, often, that is enough for, as an entire meal for a person. Vahave lay sudas keva, and that would be considered an established, an official formal meal. Elo omar Abaye, so rather Abaye says, what is afila saroi? Kidetoyim bar beira va'ayo lekalon. The amount of food a father would grab on his way out to the or a person on the way out running out to a shear, the amount of food a person grabs on his way out to listen to a Torah lecture, that would be considered an achila saroi. Now, on daf chof zayin omid aleph, you can see in Rashi dibur masel baye and Tosfos dibur masel tarti that the shear of a baye is an egg quantity. So here we translated kidetoyim bar beirav ayolikala, but we should understand that as being one egg quantity of a bread that would be an achilas aroi. So according to Rav Yosef, we see a larger amount, Abaye giving us a smaller amount. Both are opinions in the shiur, the amount of food that constitutes achilas aroi. The Gemara will be making reference later on back to Rav Yosef and Abaye, so it's important that the names are highlighted as we've done in Gemara markings. Tanu Rabbanan, Oichlem achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah v'ein yishenim shinas aroi chutz l'sukkah. Snacking can be done outside the sukkah, but the equivalent of snacking in terms of sleep, we can call it napping, that cannot be done outside of the sukkah. My taima, why is that? Omar Rav Ashi, and we pointed out earlier, these triangles introduce reasons for the isser of shina saroi outside the sukkah. Gzeiro shemo yirodem. We're afraid that it might turn into a full slumber. We're afraid that Yerodeim is to fall into a deep sleep. So Rav Ashi doesn't want even a small nap in fear of his coming to a deep sleep. It goes without saying, as is quite obvious in this Gemara, that the mitzvah of sukkah is what we call Teishu Kein Tadur. One's supposed to dwell in his sukkah as he does in his house. And house activities include eating meals and sleeping. And you have to do that in the sukkah, not outside of it. So then, as far as the nap is concerned, we're afraid that's going to turn into a full-fledged slumber. Omar le Abaye. So Abaye asks, Eloha desanya, yoshin odom shinas aroi betfilin avalo shinas keva. A person is allowed to sleep, to nap with his tefillin, but not a deep sleep. And the problem with the deep sleep while wearing one's tefillin is the fear that a person might pass wind while sleeping. And that's not proper while one is wearing his tefillin. So, there is, though, an allowance of shina saroi. But according to what Rav Ashi said, Abaye is asking, Lechu Shemo Yerodein, why should we allow even Shinas Aroi with filling? If Shinas Keva, a formal deep sleep, is forbidden with the tefillin, and we said that is certainly forbidden with the case, in the case of Sukkah, but in the case of Sukkah we went a step further. Since a deep sleep is forbidden, we forbid even napping outside the Sukkah. why then, when it comes to tefillin, which is also forbidden in a deep sleep, why is napping allowed? So here the double underline appears, and on the side we've written tshuvos. These introduce answers. Lakushya shevshu al tshuvos Rav Ashi, questions on Rav Ashi's answer, who had mentioned gzeiro shema yirodeim. Mikach shemutur lishon betfilin shinas aroy velo chashinon shem yirodeim. Here, in the case of tefillin, we allow him to sleep a napping type sleep, and we don't worry, we don't ban or forbid or proscribe that based on the fear that it might turn into a full fledged deep sleep. So why the difference? Omar Rav Yosef Breid Rav Eloy b'moiser shinosu l'achirim. The heter of tefillin is because he asked someone to watch him. In other words, to wake him up just after a couple of minutes so that it won't come to a deep sleep. That's why we're allowing shinas aroy b'tefillin. Maskif lo Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia takes issue with this answer. Arvoich, arvot sorech. You're relying on someone to watch the sleeper. Maybe the one you asked will fall asleep, and he'll need someone to wake him up. So we can't explain the heter of shinasoroi based on having someone watch you, or assigned to wake you up. Rabo bar chana om Rabbi Yochanan. The heter of shinas aroy is b'miniach roishe ben birkov askinon. He bends his head over between his knees, and that way it won't turn into a deep sleep. Rava, notice the triangle. We said the triangle comes to explain why it's usher to sleep outside the sukkah, even a nap. Rava Omar, Ein keva l'shina. Rashi, Rava Omar, Rashi, is, you'll see about a quarter of the way from the end, l'shemo yirodeim lo chayshinon. As far as the fear that a person through napping is going to come to a deep sleep, that's not something that bothers us to begin with. Hilkach b'tfilin shari. Therefore, by tfilin, it's okay. There's no problem with napping with the tfilin. V'sukkah, hainu taima da'asur shinas aroy. And Rashi is helping us with the structure in so profound a way. And hence we have the triangle to enable you to go back to the issue of the issur of shinas aroy outside the sukkah. He says lefishen keva l'shina. Rashi says v'ein bo chiluk ben keva l'aroy l'inyan sukkah. There is sleeping is something that doesn't have a fixed amount time wise. Therefore, there's no grounds for making a distinction between aroy and keva with regard to the sukkah. Shein odem kaveh atzmo l'shina. A person doesn't establish ahead of time how long he is going to sleep or needs to sleep. Often is the case that people doze off for a matter of moments and then they feel totally refreshed afterwards. So that is the ultimate example of a nap, of a brief nap, and sufficing. Hilkach zuhi shinoso, that is his sleep. He doesn't need any more. That's, as far as this particular person, that's considered his deep, long sleep. Because the sleep is essentially a means to an end. It's a means to becoming refreshed. And therefore, the concept or the action of sleeping is forbidden in all forms outside the sukkah. The gabi tefillin de taim Hashem yofiyabem. With regard to the tefillin, the prohibition isn't the action, isn't the sleep per se, or what the sleep accomplishes, but it's rather because during sleeping, one tends to pass wind. The lav mishum isur shino, not because of the prohibition of actual sleeping. So benayim purta lo osili de hafocha, in napping, in a brief closing of the eyes, so to speak, one doesn't pass wind. We continue in a tefillin discussion. You'll notice we have numbers with little diamonds are 1 through 3. And what they represent are, there are three Tanaic sources that seem to contradict one another with regard to sleeping and tefillin. Tani chada yoshen adam betefillin shinas aroi avaloi shinas keva. One source says that, like we saw before, this is the same source we saw a few lines up, that one's allowed to nap with tefillin, but not sleep with tefillin. V'tanya idach, bain keva bain aroi. This is a very lenient source, telling you even a full-fledged slumber is allowed. And tanya idach, the most restrictive source, is lo keva v'lo aroi. Not even aroi is allowed. Well, a three-way contradiction, right? No. Lo kasha, there is no problem here. And what we've done in our markings, the numbers correspond to the sources. And you'll notice, if you look carefully, the order in the answers don't correspond to the order of the sources. So the third source is the first one to be answered. Ha denoket lehu biyadeh. If a person is holding tefillin in his hands. Nature of people is that when they even nap briefly, so their limbs become limp, and whatever clutching he might have been clutching onto his tefillin, his hand clasped around the tefillin, that will go limp, and the tefillin could fall out of his hands, even while just briefly closing one's eyes, the brief nap. Therefore, even aroi will be prohibited, and that once again is where he's holding the tefillin in his hands. Ha de manchi bereshe, the first source that made a distinction, that's where he is actually wearing the tefillin. They're on his head, and in under circumstances like that, where he's wearing the tefillin, so only shinas keva is also not shinas aroi. And the second source that said even shinas keva is allowed, ha de poris sudra iluya. This is where he's not wearing the tefillin at all, and he's not holding them either, but rather they're set off to the side of his head, and when he lies down, he simply covers them, poris sudra, he covers them with a cloth, and he sleeps with the tefillin next to his head, and that is allowed. V'kamo shinos aroi, how long is that? Just like we saw before, the Gemara is asking how much is achilas aroi. Here we're asking how much is shinas aroi. The Gemara answers, Toni Romi Bar Yecheskel, Kedei Hiluch Meo Amo. The amount of time it would take to walk 100 amos, 100 amo would be 50 meters approximately, not very long. That is shinas aroi. Tanya nami hochi, and a source that supports this, hayoshen betfilin veroya keri, one who is sleeping with his tefillin on, and he has a male release, a semen release. Oiches beretsua. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. V'eino oiches b'ktitza divrei b'yankiv. He is expected to remove the tefillin, but by holding the straps and not holding the ktitza. The ktitza is the actual box of the tefillin. The box of the tefillin are understood to have a higher level of kedusha, or a higher level of honor due to them. Therefore, the state of keri is a state of impurity, and tefillin must be removed according to this opinion. We have to mention, by the way, that when we are learning any masifta in Gemara markings, we might use the term the halacha is. We have no intent to rule in a halacha lemaisa fashion, issuing legal rulings and actual ways of practice. For that, one has to study sifrei halacha, like as is represented by the Shulchan Aruch and its commentaries. We continue in the source, v'chacham, that was Divrei Rabbi Yankiv, means what we just learned about one who is sleeping with his tefillin and experiences carry what he is supposed to do. The Chachomim Omrim Yoshein Odom B'Tefillin Shinas Aroy Avolo Shinas Keva. Truth be told, it sounds like the Chachomim are arguing with Rabbi Yankiv. Rabbi Yankiv didn't seem to object to a deep sleep. All that he was dealing with was in deep sleep, a man could experience keri. And what is one to do then? The Chachomim don't allow a situation that would lead to that, insofar as they say you can sleep only Shinas Aroy and not Shinas Keva while wearing your tefillin. V'kamo Shinas Aroy, and this is the reason we're bringing the source in to define Shinas Aroy, kedei hiluch me'amon. We said this source was brought to support the answer that was given by Rami Bar Yecheskel, that Shinas Aroy is the amount of time to walk 100 amos. And that's, of course, why we dashed underline Hiluch Meo Amo. Omar Rav, Osir Lo'odom Lishon B'yom Yoyser Mishinas Esus. Now, this discussion is not tefillin based, but it's, as we, in our under our topic heading on the side, we simply called this section Iser Shino B'yom, the prohibition of sleeping during the day. And the reason for that, Rashi explains, third line from the top, Nitnei Bittul Torah, because the daytime is designed for Torah learning. Obviously, if someone is working, so he's working, he's at his job, that's another story. But assuming this person is not at his job, the Torah expects one to be engaged in Torah study, so that during the day, it is forbidden to sleep, because that is at the expense of Torah learning. So it's also to sleep during the day, Yoyser Mishinas Asus, more than the sleep of a horse. What does that mean? The Kamo Shinas Asus, how long does a horse sleep? Shisin Nishmi, 60 breaths. Omar Abaye, Shinsei Demor Kidarav, the sleep of Rabba was like that of Rav. And if it would seem from the context of Mora that we're talking about napping during the day, as far as Rabba is concerned, he practiced the way of Rav, not more than 60 breaths. Uderav Kidarebi, Uderebi Kididovid. And continuing the chain of earlier generations, Rav patterned his behavior after Rebbe. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, the compiler, the editor of the Mishnayos. And Rebbe, like his forebearer of many generations earlier, David HaMelech. Uderebi Kididovid, we said. Udidovid Kidisusya. And David was like a horse. Udisusya Shisinishmi. And the horse, 60 breaths. Those of you who have learned Maseches Brochus will see, will remember possibly from the beginning of the Masechta how David limited his sleep even during nighttime hours. Abaye havinayim kidema'ayo mi pupadisa lebe kuvi. Abaye slept during the day the amount of time to travel from pupadisa, name of a place, and be kuvi, the name of another place. Kori ole Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef referred to Abaye seeing him sleep so long. The Gemara doesn't say how far it is, but Rav Yosef's reaction indicates that it's more than Shisinishmi. And Rashi says that it's explained elsewhere, it's the amount of time to walk 6 parsa. 1 parsa contains 4 meal. So, and a meal is a half a kilometer. So, Shisa Parsi is 6 times 4, 24 kilometers, 24 meal, that is. If we said before the Parsa, we should say 1 Parsa has 4 meal. And a meal is 2,000 amas. Being 1,000 amas, I should say 2,000 amos, because 1 amo is a half a meter. So 2,000 amos would be 1,000 meters. So 24 mil would be approximately the amount of time to cover 24 kilometers. And that aroused Rav Yosef's objection. He says, Ad mosai otzel tishkav, mosai toku mishinoscha. Truth be told, that it's hard to imagine the statistics as we gave them, but Rashi says in the upper part of the narrow lines, Kemi'ayol b'disa l'beikuvi is the meforsh mokamachar d'avishisa parsi. The commentaries on the side indicate that we don't know where Rashi gets that from. But whatever the case is, that needs further analysis, because the 24 kilometers is a quite a long amount of time. Tonu Rabbonan, Anichnas Lishon B'yom, a person who wants to sleep by day, Rotsa Choyletz, Rotsa Miniach. He has the option of removing his tefillin or leaving them on. Now, Rashi explains, how is it that if one wants to sleep during the day, are we giving him the option to leave his tefillin on? So Rashi says, "Lefisha biyoyim ein darkei l'shamishim ishto v'lo lishon keva." So the second point is more familiar to us, that it's not the way to go into a deep sleep, one who sleeps during the day, but rather one would at maximum nap. And we saw Shinas Aroi would be allowed. And the first point Rashi makes will take on greater significance as we go on in the Gemara, but translated means a person won't come to have intimacy with his wife while wearing his tefillin if he's going to sleep during the day with his tefillin. It's not the normal way of people to engage in intimacy during the day. It goes without saying that intimacy while wearing tefillin is not to be done. The source continues, Balaylo choyleitz v'eino miniach. At night, a person must remove his tefillin and cannot put them on. And Rashi adds, even for Shinas Aroi. Divrei Rabbi Nosson. This is Rabbi Nosson's approach. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Hayalodim la'olam cholzin v'einon menichin. Yalodim are, Rashi says, bachurim, youth, young boys. They're wearing tefillin, so we can assume they're over bar mitzvah, and certainly from the context of the Gemara you can see that that's what we're talking about. But they must take off their tefillin even by day. And the source says, because they're mishmei shiragilim betumah. Rashi says, shiragilim betumah, but here one has to be careful with the Rashi, because he's giving you an initial understanding, but it's not necessarily the final explanation. Rashi says, kol salka daitof, the thinking right now is, shemo yiru keri, shehiru motzi bohen. Young people are characterized by having impure thoughts. It's common. It's not something that we allow or advocate, but it's common for them to have impure thoughts, and thoughts can lead to a keri emission. And we indicated before that we object to having tefillin on if one has experienced keri. So the Gemara asks, Lemo kosava Rabbi Yossi, Baal Keri Osur Lo Niach Tefillin, should we say that Rabbi Yossi prohibits a person who experienced Keri from wearing Tefillin? And Rashi adds, why we're so preoccupied, if you will, with Rabbi Yossi's opinion is because he represents the way to actually follow in practical halacha. So are we to conclude that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that a Baal Keri is forbidden to wear tefillin? And it would seem that way because of Rabbi Yossi's objection to the Yelodim doing even a to the Yelodim wearing tefillin even during daytime sleep, which we said before was daytime sleep is basically a shinasa keva, is a shinasa roi, and we said ein darku l'shamishim ishto. Omar Abaye. Abaye explains that the Braisa is not talking, or is not, Rabbi Yossi in the Tanaic source, is not bothered by Keri, but by something more serious. B'yalodim u'nisheisem imoim askin. We're talking about young, we'll call them young couples, where the boys are newly young, and they are with their wives. So a young fellow who's married, and he's it's during the daytime, and his wife is there, and he wants to go to sleep, and his wife is sleeping there too. So with in a case like that, we don't want them going to sleep with their tefillin on, even though it's daytime. Shemo yavo lidei hergil dover. They might, hergil dover is a type of euphemism referring to an act of intimacy. When it comes to young people, their tendency to engage in intimacy is extends even to daytime hours. That's a tendency. We're not saying that's the right thing to do or the proper thing to do, but we have to deal with the human element. And since that's their tendency to engage in intimacy even during the daytime, and the circumstances here are talking about these young fellows and their wives are there and they want to go to sleep during the daytime hours, the fear is that in the course of their going to sleep, they will engage in intimacy, and that's why Rav Yossi objects to the Yelodim wearing the tefillin even for daytime sleeping. Tanu Rabbanan, Shochach v'shimesh mitoso b'tefillin. The source describes anybody that might have forgotten that he was wearing the tefillin, and parenthetically, based on Gemara and Shabbos Daf Mem Tes, you can see that the tefillin were very small, not like common tefillin that one sees today. Very, very small. One could actually close his hand, make a fist with his tefillin inside his hand, showing you and be totally enclosed, showing you the rather small size of the tefillin. And with that in mind, so one can imagine then one could be wearing them and not even be aware that he's wearing them when he goes in and engages in intimacy. So let's say someone forgot himself and did that. Einu oches lo b'ritzuv lo b'ktzitza. He should not hold not only the ktzitza, the box that we saw before, but even the strap he shouldn't take hold of. Ad sheyitol yodov yitleim, until he washes his hands first. And then remove the tefillin, because hands are asconius. What that means, they touch, move all kinds of places. And Rashi says, "Veshemo nagu b'moka matinos." We're afraid that they might have touched an unclean area, and we want to make sure that your hands are properly cleansed before holding even the tefillin straps. We should point out that in, let's say, in a halachic hierarchy, tefillin straps are called tashmishi kedusha. They have a certain inherent sanctity to them, placing them, let us say, above other mitzvah-related items, for example, tzitzis, or a shofar, or a sukkah, schach of a sukkah, which we would call tashmishi mitzvah, where this type of expectation or requirement is not in place. Only when it comes to tashmishi kedusha would we have this standard. Before continuing, we have a topic heading on the side. We've called this a nosei klali, a general topic heading, achila besukkah, the issue of eating in a sukkah, shiurei Oichel, Shemechaiven, Achila Besuk. We'll be touching on food quantities with regard to obligation to be being eaten in the sukkah. The Mishnah. Maisa veviu lo the Rabban Yochanan Zakkai, litoim es atafshil. An incident involved Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai being presented with some food to taste. Litoim, to taste. And Rabbi Gamliel was presented with two dates and a pail of water. the Amru. In both of these cases, they said, He'elum l'sukkah. Bring them into the sukkah. Ukshenosnu lo l'rabbi tzadok, oichel, pochus mika beitza. And when Rabbi Tzadok was given food less than an egg quantity in size, and here we have to emphasize less than an egg quantity, under such circumstances, not loy b'mapo, he took it in a cloth. He didn't, Rashi points out, he didn't do netilas yadayim, he didn't wash his hands. So he took the food in a cloth. And as we said before, when we speak about food, we're generally speaking about bread. So he took bread less than the size of an egg, and he didn't wash his hands, so he took them in a cloth. He took the bread in a cloth without having direct contact with the hands. Rashi says that, let's read the Rashi, not lo b'mapo, lo notal yodov, elo korach b'mapo yodov, mishun nikius. He didn't wash his hands, rather he wrapped his hands in a cloth for hygienic purposes. The kosovar prochus mikabetza lo boinu til sedayim. He holds that less than an egg quantity does not generate the obligation of washing one's hands. V'lo boi sukkah, v'lo boi brichas hamazon l'achrov. These are points the Mishnah goes on to speak out. So let's see this in the Mishnah. After we mentioned he took the food while his hands were wrapped in a cloth, v'ochlo chutz l'sukkah, and he ate it outside the sukkah, v'lo birech acharov, and he did not recite the birchas hamazon. This shita, that is, of Rabbi Tzadok, is in conformity to the shita, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in Maseches Brochas, that birchas hamazon is required only when one eats an amount of food that could lead to being sated, and that's a full egg quantity. As far as brocha before eating, that is not what this mission is talking about. Before eating, even a mashu, a minuscule amount of food, obligates one in making a brocha. The Gemara asks, this Mishnah is coming on the heels of the previous Mishnah. And we saw in the previous Mishnah that it said, Oichlin achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. One can eat a small amount of food outside the sukkah. Achilas aroi. Generally speaking, when Mishnayos give us incidents, the incidents are brought to corroborate or support the halacha that was taught beforehand. So, with that structure in mind, we saw you're allowed a snack outside the sukkah, and then we saw Rabbi Gamliel presented with two dates. Now, two dates is not a full meal, and yet Rabbi Gamliel insisted on the two dates being brought into the sukkah. So, Maisa Listar, is it the way of Tanoim to bring an incident, a story, to contradict that which the Tana taught just beforehand? And that would be the case over here. We said you can snack outside the sukkah, and here we have a case of a snack being inside the sukkah. The Gemara answers, Chisure Mechasra V'hochi Kotoni. The Mishnayos are deliberately abbreviated. In other words, when Rebbe formulated or edited the Mishnayos, he left them mechasra, meaning missing, because one might approach to that is that the Mishnayos was the first writing down of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, and technically speaking, the oral tradition, as its name indicates, should be oral, not written. Times were hard and people were forgetting things, so we wrote down, but we didn't overdo it. So when Rebbe had the Mishnayos written down, he didn't elaborate and left a lot of the explanation to the Mishnayos in an oral form. So that the Mishnah here is not bringing a contradictory Maisa. Rather, we have to fill in more words for understanding purposes. V'hochi kotoni, and thusly it is being taught. Namely, the first Mishnah, the previous Mishnah that is true, it remains in its place, Oichlen Achizrei Chutz L'Sukkah. And we continue, in bola hachmir atzmo machmir. If a person wants to obligate himself beyond the letter of the law, he wants to be stringent upon himself, he has that option, v'les bei mishum yuhara. And in this case, such behavior would not be associated with or a sign of haughtiness, yuhara, haughtiness. This is something that's worth an entire discussion in and of itself. It's an idea that you see elsewhere in the Shas, where we object to a practice of Judaism for the purpose of drawing attention and haughtiness, if you will. So one has to be careful when one, obviously when one is practicing the letter of the law, that's what you're obligated to do. The issue of yuhara comes up when you're doing things that one isn't obligated by letter of the law, but one wants to accept upon himself additional stringencies. So in the case of sukkah and the insistence on even snacking inside the sukkah, basically no food consumption outside the sukkah, one is entitled to accept that type of stringency upon himself and doesn't have to fear that it might appear as Yuhara's haughty behavior. Umaisinami, and an incident to illustrate this, Veheviu lo l'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai litoim es hatavshil. Rabbi Yom Yochai Bazak was given a very small quantity of food just to taste it. Rabbi Gamliel was given two dates and a pail of water. We continue at the top of Daf Chof Zayin, the Omru, and they said, Helum l'sukkah, bring them into the sukkah, bring those small amounts of food into the sukkah. The food tasting, or the two dates, which is certainly an example of Achilas Aroi, and they nevertheless insisted on it being in the sukkah. And great men like that would certainly knew that one is not allowed to practice yuhara. However, in contrast, when they gave Reb Tzadok food less than an egg quantity, which also would be achilas aroi, he didn't have that same stringency, self-imposed stringency. Not he ate with his hands wrapped in a cloth, and he ate it outside the sukkah, nor did he make a birchas hamazon. You see diamonds. And on the side, under the Mivneh heading, these diamonds are diyukim, shonim, different inferences, shenitan l'dayek, to that one could infer, mehadikotoni b'braisa l'gabi pochus mikabetza. This brisa featured food less than an egg quantity, and there were 3 points that followed from that phenomenon of less than an egg quantity of food. One then can infer what would be the case if you had a full egg quantity of food. So should we infer ha kebetza boy sukkah? The source as it is leaves room to infer that only because it was less than an egg quantity was it being eaten outside the sukkah. But if it was a full egg quantity of bread, that would require being in the sukkah. Well, if that's the case, Leimotevi Tufte to Rav Yosef Abaye, should we say that this Tanaic source then would counter the opinions that we saw back on Daf Chof Vav? If you recall, we made a point of saying that Rav Yosef and Abaye in the lower part of Daf Chof Vav Amud Aleph were in diamonds. What were they doing over there? They were explaining what is meant by Achilas Aroi, hence outside the sukkah. So Rav Yosef spoke about 2 or 3 eggs quantity. Abaye was less, he said, a full egg quantity. He mentioned Kidatoyim Bar Beirav, and we explained that meant an egg quantity. That is Achilas Aroi, so an egg quantity, yes, outside the sukkah, according to Abaye, and certainly according to Rav Yosef. And yet here we're saying an egg quantity must be in the sukkah. And this is a Tanaic source. So should we say le motevi tufte to Rav Yosef Abaye, that this is a refutation of Rav Yosef and Abaye, who agree that of one full egg quantity is still called achilas aroi, and this source is saying otherwise? The Gemara says no, this source is not a refutation. Dilma, maybe the inference should be as follows. Pachos mikabeitza netila ubracha lo boi. Ha kebeitza boi netila ubracha. Less than an egg quantity, as was taught in the source, do not require netilas yadayim, nor require birchas hamazon. But a full egg quantity does require washing one's hands, and you can't. We won't allow your wrapping your hands in a cloth for a full egg quantity of bread, and a full egg quantity of bread also obligates one in birchas hamazon. But nevertheless, even a full egg quantity, like less than the egg quantity, do not need to be in the sukkah. So that enables us to preserve the explanation of Rav Yosef and Abaye regarding Achilas Aroi, that even a full egg quantity can be eaten outside the sukkah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.